Welcome to the Run Nerd Library Podcast, a podcast for those who eat, sleep, breathe, train, think, talk, and read about running, and those who are curious. I'm the host, Don Hahn, a self-proclaimed run nerd. I consider myself more of a running enthusiast than an expert, fueled by coffee and blind optimism. This podcast will feature running experts talking about their books and enthusiasts like me who are here to discuss their books with them. Whether you're listening on your commute or on your run, we are happy to have you here. Hello, and welcome back to the Run Nerd Library Podcast. This is episode 11, and I'm your host, Don Hahn. I have the fortune, the great opportunity today to talk to the author of the Slow AF Run Club book, Martinez Evans. I came across this book earlier this year as I was scrolling through Edelweiss, looking at what was coming up this year for running books, and I noticed that this book was coming up right away. The title catches you, the Slow AF Run Club. And so I pulled up more details and information on it. And I was like, this is going to be an interesting read. And so I filed that away. And then recently I appeared on a podcast with a friend of mine, and he was talking about this movement. He was like, there's this guy that wants to get everybody running. Like, he doesn't care what size you are or anything else. He wants to get you running. And it triggered me to go back and take a deeper look. And that person is my guest today, Martinez Evans. So to kind of set the story a little bit on how his running journey may have gotten started, and he talks about this early in the book. Martinez was sitting on the examining table in a doctor's office. And the doctor says to him, "You need to lose some weight or you're going to die." And He's sitting there, maybe taken aback by the abruptness, the directness of the language. And you sort of fire back, Martinez, to the doctor that you're going to run a marathon and you're going to get you're going to lose weight and get in shape. And I think at that point, the doctor may have snickered or he wasn't taking you seriously. But that's really where it started for you. That was the catalyst, the inspiration to maybe get off the couch and start running. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, most of all. Yeah. Just about.
Yeah, yeah. So how about filling in some of the details for us there? What did I miss?
So I guess the main thing that didn't necessarily make the book, but it's part of my story, is that, so I worked at a job where I was on my feet 8 to 10 hours a day, right? So I went to this doctor. Like, this doctor wasn't my primary care physician or anything like that. Like, this was just a random doctor that I found from a list of doctors from my insurance, right? Mm-hmm. And it was the fact that, like, I had this hip issue and I really wanted to figure out what was going on with it. So go to this doctor. I'm sitting on this doctor's office, like sitting on a table. And he's like, "Yeah, you know, I know why you're in pain. It's because you're fat. You need to lose weight or die." So for me, like, yeah, I'm taken aback, but I'm also like, so, like, what about my hip? Right. Like, yeah. I didn't come to you for like general practitioner advice. You are a orthopedic specialist, like, do your job. Right. And, you know, he goes on to say, "Well, you need to start losing weight by like walking on the track." And for me, like, that was just asinine, on the fact that my job consisted of me walking on my feet, like being on my feet 8 to 10 hours a day. So telling somebody, "Well, you know, you need to start walking to lose weight," like, that shit just didn't make sense because I was already on my feet. So when I went from that to, "Well, I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to run a marathon," and him laughing at me and telling me that was the dumbest thing he heard in all his years of practicing medicine, like, it really flipped a switch in my head to say, you know what? As much as I want to massage my fist against this guy's face, I'm going to go run this marathon and prove his ass wrong.
Yeah, nice. And you did, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But did you have a running background in your youth or at any point, or was this just like a epiphany in that moment that this is what you're going to do?
Yeah, no running background, right? Like, I have like athletics in my life, like in youth, but that was like high school. So I played organized sports my junior, senior year of high school, and then my freshman year in college.
Okay.
So like, that was it as far as like my career in athletics.
Okay, so you had familiarity with working out and those sorts of things from sports in your younger days. So it was just like in that moment, the marathon came to mind, maybe because of your frustration and anger, and you decided to do this thing. And we'll talk more about that as we get into the book in the next segment, but I want to learn a little bit more about you before we get there. Mm-hmm. So what inspired you to write this book? Why write a book?
Well, I would say the thing that really inspired me the most to write this book was the members inside the Slow Your Front Club, right? So throughout the pandemic, it was like the worst of time as well as the best of time for certain members mm-hmm. in the community, right? Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, like our community grown from like a couple hundred people to thousands of members overnight. And I went from just, you know, being like the fearless leader to also being a servant leader and answering mm-hmm. all types of running questions that people might have. And, you know, one of the things that just kept coming up was like, dang, you know, I've read a bunch of running books and I've never heard this type of advice before. I think you need to write a running book, right? Mm-hmm. So like, that's where the inkling or the thought kind of came from, especially for the book that I wrote, right? Like most people would think, well, I wrote a memoir, and that's not necessarily the case. This is a true how-to manual for anybody who's looking forward to starting to run. So, yeah. It's one of those shocking things that people thought it may be one thing and then they got another.
Yeah. I thought as I was reading through it, when I got my copy, this is good common sense advice. But if you flip to the back of the book and you look at your sources, you've got some solid sources in there that you're pulling from too. So you're putting together a really good resource. Like I've read a lot of running books too. And I look at this as one that if somebody came to me and said, hey, I'm thinking about getting started in running, what would you recommend I look at? So, you know, there's the Hal Higdons of the world. And if somebody's starting a marathon, going for their first marathon, that's always right. a good resource. But I look at your book, like the anecdotes that you tell in there, the relatability of it. And we'll talk more about that in the next segment too. It's great. I mean, you embrace that everybody can be an athlete. And can be a runner, and most of the running community I hope gets that, and we embrace the inclusivity of running, regardless of size, race, and those kinds of things. But you have some great advice in there, some great common sense things, and then some things that you've sort of we'll talk about SMARTY goals when we get there, and that was something new to me. It's something that you've created, so. Look forward to talking about that. But talk to us about the Run Club. You've got about 18,000 or so members now.
Actually, it's closer to 20,000 now. So
okay, keeps growing.
We got So you know, I would say it's the fastest growing running community on the internet, right? Slow Your Run Club. Yeah. And yeah. Basically, what this community is a place for all of the misunderstood and. People who have been thrown away or left behind and have to defend for themselves, right? Mm-hmm. That's more or less how I kind of see the members inside the Run Club. And more or less like our goal is to get 1 million people to start running in the body that they have right now. So like literally our goal is to get more people running and not necessarily have to focus about like their weight or anything else. It's really about getting active and running just being that mechanism for people to get active.
That's a great cause for sure. I saw a meme the other day about running isn't your excuse to eat a piece of pie. It's something you get to do, right? Right. So I love that kind of philosophy that you espouse. So we're going to come right back. And in segment two, we're going to jump right into the book. And so we'll be right back in just a second. We're back. In segment two here with Martinez Evans, author of the Slow AF Run Club book. In this segment, we're going to talk more about the book and get into the weeds a little bit about some of the content in it. And hopefully hear some stories from Martinez about what was going through his mind as he was writing it, but also in the background stories, how they inspired him to write this book. So Martinez, in the last segment, you mentioned that it was a lot of your club members that were listening to your advice, and they were like, you need to write a book. As we talked about, this is a great common sense starting point for people. So kind of talk to me about how you arranged the book. When you were thinking about the chapter layout and what you wanted to cover, how did you go about that? There's a lot that you could cover, and you did it in a nice, succinct way. How did you boil it down to the points that you covered?
So I really just took my experience from when I started running 10 years ago, right? So when I started running, I bought every running book out there, right? And I read them, right? And what I noticed back then was a lot of that stuff did not cater to people like myself. You know, somebody who's in the back of the pack, somebody who's, you know, in the larger body type. And you can see that in, for example, Couch to 5K. So like most Couch to 5K programs consider or assumes that you can run a 10-minute mile. And you can say they do that because when you look at week 8, day 3 of Couch 5K, it's like run for 30 minutes. Congratulations, you ran a 5K. Yeah. You do the math, that's faster than a 10-minute mile. So like, I don't know who they think is a beginner running 10-minute miles, but it's definitely not me. So that was the, I'd say more or less the basis of how I formulated my book. Like, I remember reading these books and being like, all right, this is great, but none of this stuff is useful to me. So what I really wanted to do is be able to provide some stuff that was very useful to other people. The other thing I noticed is that most running books are boring AF. So like, I'm a certified run coach, right? And they give you, you know, the Daniels formula on running.
Yeah.
And they tell you like, this is the Bible on running, so on and so forth. But like, that book is dry. It is the driest thing. Like, watching paint dry is more entertaining than that book, right?
Yeah.
But however, like, people go to that book. Like, you read like Reddit, you read Let's Run, you read all these running forums, and they're like, oh yeah, like, this is the Bible. And I'm like, to who? Yeah. Not to me. Like, we're speaking a whole different language. So I think about that. I think about some of the other books that I read and just being like, this does not resonate with me. So I wanted to make sure I wrote a book that resonates with me, but also that came from like a point of view of like from an everyman's point of view. So what I mean by that is that like most running books are written by elite athletes or coaches of elite athletes telling you how to run their method. From Hal Higdon to Jack Daniels to Galloway, like these are elite athletes or coaches of elite athletes telling you how to do their method. But sometimes like their method may not work for you.
Right.
So like I think about reading these manuals and like, for example, for me, like having problems with thigh chafe and like how long it took me to find out about Body Glide. Or like how long did it take me to like deal with shin splints or, you know, to go through some of this stuff and be like, oh, I just need to run more because all of these books are telling me to run more, but none of them are really telling me about like cross training and like really injury prevention or things of that sort. So I really wanted to like lay a foundation down for this book and for the people who read it, but also make it entertaining and captivating at the same time.
For sure. And can I tell just a quick aside about chafing? That's a real issue for anybody that's a new runner. If you have any skin that's going to rub together, you need to get that Body Glide or something similar. My first marathon was the Chicago Marathon, and it must have been like mile 17, mile 18. I'm running along and I see somebody standing on the side of the road with a piece of cardboard that just has a big old glob of Vaseline on top of it. And runners are going by with two fingers and swiping off of it. And I'm like, what is that all about? I had no idea about nipple chafing or any other chafing at that point. So I didn't do any, like I was trying to figure it out as I was going. And then I just see this guy run by with both of his nipples bleeding and, you know, like the 8 to 12 inch line of blood straight down. I learned pretty quickly when I got in the shower after that race, what the chafing was all about and where that Vaseline goes. But that's a good point. Those are some of the kind of things that are like really good advice that most people don't think to tell. But also from that, let's talk about changing perceptions. That's one of the things that like I first, like one of the first early parts of the book that I highlighted. And I was like, that's gotta be, because it ties right in with mindsets and then affirmations or mantras. So can you kind of break down that section of the book a little bit for the readers and the listeners about like how you get into the mindset and what those chapters mean to you?
So I think one of the things I learned, like I said, you know, I was fortunate enough to play like football. My collegiate football year was all of like, my career was all of like 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. But I think I learned a lot in that whole process about like being an athlete and like how to get into that athletic mindset, right? About flipping a switch and being like, all right, now I'm in the mode, I'm in the zone, right? Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of people that I coach, they struggle with that. They struggle with the notion of, for all of their lives, people have been telling them they're not good enough or they need to do something else in order to do the thing that they want to do. And for a lot of people, they just settle with that. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of people, like, once you figure out that, hey, once you can strengthen the muscle that's in between your ears and you can find out or really understand that not everything you think about yourself is true and not everything you feel about yourself is real, you can kind of like take those quote unquote losses or those quote unquote things that people could say about you and really turn it into fuel for fire to prove them people wrong, but mm-hmm. also go out and do your own thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's really what like perception is really just perceiving like what's going on in the world and really understanding that you can change it. Mm-hmm. And that's just my whole haunted belief, right? Is that you can change it. I think for a lot of people, they struggle with that because they focus a lot on external validation of like, oh, my friends, my family, my doctor said I can't do this or they don't think I can do it. Then dang, maybe I can't do it. And I think for a lot of things in this world, and it's something I talk about in the book, right, is that like a lot of these things in the world, like people have opposition. So you think about the Wright brothers and like trying to fly. You think about electricity. You think about the internet. You think about the cell phone or the iPhone and all this other stuff, right? Like mm-hmm. that stuff didn't just come and like people was like, oh yeah, great. Like, yes, like continue to do that.
Yeah.
But most of the time it's like, what are you smoking? Like, you imagine the Wright brothers being like, I want to fly with the birds.
Yeah.
I'm going to fly. And them being like, sirs, what are you smoking? You must be having too much of the milk of the poppy.
Yeah. Yeah. There's all the people that are on the sidelines watching you, waiting to see what's going to happen. Like what's going to happen? Is he going to make it or is he going to fail? Like, you know, instead of reaching out and lending a hand, they're waiting to see what's going to happen.
Right.
You're finding that as a great way to kind of fuel the motivation, right? That's what you're doing with your perception there.
Yes.
And the mindset change. And one of the things, like talking about strong mindset, could you talk to the listeners about the marathon where you were being chased pretty heavily by the sag wagon and maybe taunted a little bit. I think taunted's the right word for it by the driver of the sag wagon. And talk about like the mental toughness of that day.
Yeah. And so what you're talking about is my first marathon, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was a lot to even go through. You know, the fact that you already have a lot of thoughts or disbeliefs in your head about trying to run a marathon, especially for a lot of people who are beginning, right? So mm-hmm. let me just put this out there. For most people who are running a marathon, they typically only run, the longest they have run is like 20 to 22 miles, right? Yep. So like, if this is your first marathon, there's like 4 to 6 miles that you've never ran. And you're like, uncharted am I going territory. To make it?
Yeah.
Yes. Uncharted territory. Am I going to make it? So you got that in the back of your mind. And then for me, I had the sag wagon that was coming by every mile on the mile from like mile 18 all the way to mile 25. Just someone sees a doubt and being like, hey, big man, like, get in the car, like I'll take you to the finish line. And like every mile at the mile, hey, big man, come on. I'll take you. Like, let's get in, right? And just really sowing seeds of doubt of like, because then you start to have like this internal dialogue of like, damn, can I really do it? Like, maybe he's seeing something in me that I don't see in myself. Like maybe he's seeing that I can't do this. And it's during that time where you have to fight back and question those thoughts to be like, no, I came here to conquer. And that's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you persevered and you finished that race. And I think you may have, if I remember right from reading the book, you may have had a word or a comment or an eye or a look at that driver when you got to the finish line. So,
yeah. And I think that's the thing is that it's for me, like, what's that quote of like, revenge is the best dish served cold, something like that?
Yeah.
I think that's the same thing with like proving people wrong. Yeah. And understanding that, like, when somebody tells you no, that's an opportunity to prove to them that it's a yes all the way through.
Absolutely. And that's all inside of you to make that happen.
Yeah.
I mean, we go through a lot in this book, like really starting out, you talk about fears and anxieties. You talk about, I liked the running drip, shifting to that high gear. The chafe monster is covered in that section too.
Yeah.
But you give real honest, like you give mealtime advice. And just to be clear, you're not a registered dietitian or a nutritionist. You're giving your feedback on what your meal plan looks like. Is that correct?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so these are real, like, this is a real person that runs marathons and how they eat and, you know, what you might need to take on a race, talking about the energy chews or the gel packs and that kind of stuff. So there's great advice in there. You also get into some social commentary a little bit here, and it's something that I haven't had to relate to. But I do want to hear from you on the concept of running while black, because you comment that you're not only a 300-pound athlete running, which has its own issues, but you're also a black man. So can you kind of talk to the audience about what that experience is like?
You know, that's a very interesting thing. I was having a conversation with somebody, and was like, what's the hardest to be? It's like, is it hard to be a fat runner, or is it harder to be a black runner? And I was like, you know, both, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing is that my stature, 6'4", 300 pounds plus. And I think the neighborhoods that I lived in and things of that sort, people see you as a threat. Even though you're just out there living life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been multiple times where I've, you know, or been outside 4 or 5 a.m. like trying to get a training run because I'm thinking to myself, well, mm-hmm. I need to get out here before the sun is out. Yeah. So I'm on an 18 or 19 mile run, or, you know, sometimes even shorter than that, and get the police called on me because I'm quote unquote doing suspicious activity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those things that as a black man and as a black runner, especially with Ahmaud Arbery dying just because he was on a run, like it's one of those things that I'm just hypervigilant as a runner, because my goal is to make it back home to my family.
For sure. And what are some of the precautions you have to take? I mean, because I get what you're saying, you know, it's July and the humidity is going to be 100% and it's going to get up to 90 degrees by noon. Like you want to get out before the sun comes up and take advantage of the cool air, if you will, when it's only 70 and humidity is only 80%. But
exactly.
So what kind of precautions do you have to take? What kind of adjustments do you make?
So one of the things that I did that I have to do it, I feel like it sucks, is like going to introduce myself to the neighbors to mm-hmm. let them know that, hey, I'm the fat black guy in your neighborhood who's going to be running at all hours of the night. You should not be afraid, right?
Yeah.
I think about the stuff that I wear. So in the book, I mentioned like why the Slogan Run Club merch is so cute with the turtle and things of that sort, because like it's the last thing in the world to you think of having somebody who's looking to do nefarious things to wear a paisley and turtle shirt print all the way over. Like I have to be the most dumbest criminal in the world to wear something so blatant and easy to be picked out in a lineup.
Absolutely. That's hilarious. And it's a great print, but that it does suck the aggressiveness right out of the person wearing it, right?
Right.
So and for anybody who hasn't seen it, you can see that that print. I just made a post on Instagram. You'll see it there about this recording. You can check out Martinez's website. And we'll get more into that in the third segment here. But yeah, those are some things that many of us don't have to think about. I know there's the social media app Nextdoor, neighborhood-based social media app. And at one point, I remember a neighbor saying, "Hey, if you see a 6'4" Hispanic man running through the neighborhood, that's my husband, and I want to make sure he gets home." And right. You know, those are things I don't have to worry about. So I'm certainly sympathetic and empathetic to those that do, and that's why I hope that the running community does offer more inclusivity. I understand not in every place, but we're trying to get there. So let's make a little bit of a shift here. Many of us have heard of SMART goals and have applied those in our lives. You have added a Y to the end, SMARTY goals. Talk to us about that.
I think the thing is that just like all the running books out there, I think SMART goals are something that just need to be reframed and rephrased and updated, right? Yeah. So adding the why to it, and like for those who don't know, like the why is your big why. Like, why do you even do this? Why even, like, what about this is going to make you do this goal when everything else gets hard? So I think it's just a start to getting people to really understand, like, are these goals even worthwhile or meaningful to do? But also, like, why even do that? And it really kind of lays into, like, my whole formula inside the book of talking about, you know, your values, like your fitness gut values, and then going into goals, and then going to the processes, and like working your way down to like habits. Is that like, yeah, a goal is cool, but there's so much more to just one particular goal. And I, you know, it's one of the things is trying to get people to zoom out a bit to figure out like, what exactly do you value? Like, what is the thing that you really value? Is the thing that you really want, why you want to do this goal? Yeah. And, you know, for a lot of people, and I think this is the hard thing for a lot of people, like in this day and age, like they want the healthy aesthetic, like they want to look healthy.
Yeah.
By having six pack abs and all this other stuff, but they don't want to be healthy. And really trying to get people to understand, like, there's a difference between having a healthy aesthetic, like having a healthy outer appearance.
Yeah.
Than versus actually being healthy.
Right. Right. And the whole thing that goes along with that is if you're just solely focused on the goal, you miss everything that happens up until that point.
Right.
Right. Like, so you're talking about the process. You're talking about the day by day, the training, the 18 or 20 mile run that you endure. And then you get to race day and you complete the race, and then you wake up the next day and you're like, okay,
what now?
Right. Like maybe you haven't recovered enough from the marathon to hit the submit button on the next application for a marathon yet. But you have that feeling of loss or missing something that comes with it. So,
right.
Yeah.
It's important. Like, what now?
Yeah. It's important to embrace all that along the way. And cause it goes by quickly. The time is going to pass whether you're paying attention or not. So that's great. I want to talk about chapter 10 is about running community and finding your people. And I think like kind of one of the takeaways, especially with the Slow AF Run Club movement, is like you were struggling to find that community. So you created it. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So talk to us about that. Like building this community, almost 20,000 or over 20,000 people now on the way to a million.
Yeah, I think the thing about running community is that, or just community in general, is needed. Like we are communal individuals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even when it comes to running, like there's so much research that shows that if you do something in the community, you're more likely to do it, but also it's more likely to feel easier or like perceived to be easier, even if it's the same amount of work or even more work. So we all need community because things become easier. It makes it more enjoyable, and it makes doing hard stuff like running 26.2 miles more worthwhile than like not having that community. So yeah. One of the things that I find out like throughout the running community is that like a lot of places say all paces are welcome, but what that really means is that all paces are welcome up to a 10-minute mile.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of places don't have anything past the 10-minute mile, and they don't know what to do if somebody come that runs slower than a 10-minute mile. And that has been my case where I've came to a lot of running communities and gotten left and it's like, hey, try to keep up. And it's like, this is not a welcoming space. You're not welcoming as you say you are. And this shit sucks.
Yeah.
So with me, with the Slow F Run Club, and that's why it kind of started off as a virtual community, is to be a place that individuals can really come into and feel welcomed, no matter where they're at and around the world.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that adage that, 12-minute mile, 14-minute mile is the same distance as a 6-minute mile.
It is.
And that, you know, because of that, we're all runners and we should embrace, but there's the real runners, if you will. And then there's the rest of us. Right. Mm-hmm. And there's gotta be a bridge to that. And I think you're finding a way there. I said real runners for the listeners in air quotes, because I personally don't believe it. I consider myself a real runner. I've dabbled in some faster times, and at times I'm slower. Follow along a spectrum, but it's good that you're providing that opportunity for everybody to have a place where they can feel like there's somebody else that runs the same pace like as them, or may have the same type of body as them, or those kind of things. And let's face it, like, we've all been in a race where somebody passes us and you just kind of look at them like, how did they pass me? You know,
but it's not even that, like what is a real runner, right?
Yeah.
I think that for a lot of people, like, how I really breaking it down is, it's the elites and it's everybody else, right?
Pretty much.
If your job consists on like winning medals and podiums and going to Olympics and Olympic trials and all that stuff, like, you're an elite athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. If you're not that, then you're just everybody else.
Yeah.
And like, even my notion of how I even think about road races. So like, what I found out is that most road races are permitted as a parade. Like, there's in certain mm-hmm. certain locations, there's no such thing as a race permit. They have to get a parade permit. So if you see it in that sense, like, we're all just running in a parade. Like, if you're not an elite athlete, like, none of this shit matters. Like,
right.
We're all running in a parade to get a participation medal at the end of it.
Yeah.
So who cares if you run faster or slower? Like, you're still going to get that same participation medal, and you're not getting any money. So why even go through all this hoopla of like, oh, I'm a real runner or I'm not a real runner, when we're all a runner because we are participating in it?
I agree with that notion 100%. We all have our own goals, whatever they are. And in coaching and conversation, I always say, you know, each athlete is a study of one, you know, based on what motivates us, what gets us out of bed in the morning, what kind of nutrition and fueling we need, how much sleep we need. You know, I marvel at the people who can get up and go on 5 hours of sleep every day of their life. I'm not that guy. I need 8+ to be functional. but there are plenty of people who get like 5 hours and they're ready to go for the day. So all those things like that come into play with the physiology and so forth of running, we're all a case study of one. Did I miss anything like that you would want to talk about as far as the book? Like, did we miss covering anything that you think's a key for a potential reader or a potential club member to know?
I think the main thing about this book is that I wrote the book that I wish I would have had. And one of the things I've noticed from the I won't say elite athletes, but from people who are like been running for years, the thing they have been telling me is, Martinez, like, dang, I wish this book was around when I started running 2 years ago, right? Because these are all the things that I learned the hard way. And what that tells me is I did my job, because for the next group of runners, they'll actually have something to pick up because the people in the past did not. So I think I've just done a great job. And I think the goal is to let everybody know that if you are looking to run and get active or restart your journey, you know, the book I wrote is the book you need.
Yeah, I think it's a great book for somebody getting started. And it definitely has a lot. I mean, it's not just for somebody getting started. Like if you've been running for a while, pick it up and read it. Like you'll find some stuff in here for sure that will resonate with you and that'll help you be a better runner. We'll come back in segment three. I want to find out what's next for you. We'll talk about what you've got going on and where you'll be. And maybe some of our listeners can find you out there on your book signing tour.
All right.
All right. We are back for segment three with Slow AF Run Club author Martinez Evans. Martinez, we had a nice conversation about the content of your book. So let's talk about what's next for you. You've got a lot going on. You've been in Runner's World. You've been featured in a lot of articles across the board. And I know you're on your book signing tour right now. So what are some of the big things that are coming up for you in the near future?
Oh, man. So I'm right in the middle of a 40-day book tour. As we are recording, this is September 11th. And there is a lot of things that's still going on. So, for example, I'm going to D.C. on Wednesday, which is September 13th. Be in Fleet Feet, Tuscaloosa. I'll be in Detroit. And then I'm from there, it's going to be marathon season. So, Akron Marathon, Chicago, I'll be there speaking. Hartford Marathon, I'll be there. Indianapolis Marathon, I should be there as well. New York City, Richmond, Philly Marathon. So I'll be at all of these marathons doing book signings and even potentially talking. So that's where you can find me next. In addition to that, we're in the process of launching a nonprofit for the Slow AF Run Club. And our goal is to just add one more level to making running accessible.
Excellent.
So we're planning on like giving running away. So really our goal is to take people from less fortunate backgrounds and train them up for a marathon or a race and like just lay out the red carpet, fly them out, you know, have them participate in the race and things of that sort. So that's really the goal, is to just give running away to the less fortunate.
That's fantastic. That is a definitely worthwhile endeavor. I'd love to hear more about that as it comes to fruition. Where can folks find out about where you're going to be? Where's that calendar posted, and where can they learn more about the cause?
Yes, they can find out more at slowafrunclub.com. That's the best place to start. And if you're interested in joining the club, download the app. We have a Slow AF Run Club app. I think of it as a Facebook for slow runners, and you can find that in your favorite app store and just search Slow AF Run Club, and you'll find the app and download and come join us.
Sounds good. And how about on social? Are you out there on social?
Yeah. So Slow AF Run Club on socials and at 300 pounds and running as well on socials.
Fantastic. And if they want to get a hold of a copy of your book, where can they do that?
Oh man, wherever books are sold. So yeah. Of course you can go to the Mega Super online store. That starts with an A. But what I try to tell people is like, go support your local independent book retailer. So, you know, of course you got Barnes and Noble, you got Books a Million, but like go to that local independent bookseller and request a book there. Like, yeah, it might take a little bit longer, but it makes so much of an impact in your own community than working or like buying from a multi-billion dollar or trillion dollar conglomerate.
Yep. The big faceless corporation out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know, if you buy it from your local, and that's the same thing with like running shoes, right? Like I try to tell people, buy from the local running shoe store, buy books from a local running community, because that money, you know, like that money is going into those people's pockets who are like helping them feed their family versus, you know, a super large corporation.
I love that philosophy. I espouse it myself. That's great. It's been a pleasure getting a chance to meet with you today and learn more about your story. And it's fascinating. I look forward to, hopefully when you're here in Indianapolis, we'll be able to connect and say hello and maybe share a meal or something along those lines if you have time. I know you're pretty busy and on the move quite a bit, but maybe we can get together for a couple of minutes at least. But it's been a pleasure chatting with you, and we'll hopefully be posting your book to our online bookstore soon as well. But folks, thank you for taking time to listen. Martinez, thank you for being our guest here today. Thank you for listening to episode 11 of the Run Nerd Library Podcast. I'm your host, Don Hahn, and our guest today was Martinez Evans, author of the Slow AF Run Club. If you're thinking about getting started in running, if you're on the fence and you're looking for a great resource to help you find that motivation and some of the tools that you'll need to get started, pick up your copy of the Slow AF Run Club and join the community, join the movement. Thank you for taking time to listen today, and we look forward to having you back on the next episode of the Run Nerd Library Podcast. ¶¶